tests and trials. Background reading, 1 Peter 1:3-7. When we enter into the Christian life, we are not promised exemption from tests and trials. Rather, God's word tells us that our faith will be tested, 1 Peter 1:6-7, James 1:2-4, and that we should not be surprised at the fiery trial which comes upon us from time to time. 1 Peter 4:12 Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Therefore we can know that tests and trials are an expected part of our Christian walk, and not experiences which overtake us because our faith is limited or insufficient. When Jesus was here on earth, he experienced everything that we are likely to endure and much more, for he was tempted and tested in all areas. Therefore he knows all our trials and hardships, and is able to understand our weaknesses from a human point of view. For this reason Jesus is supremely qualified and able to help us in our times of need, if we allow him to do so. Hebrews 2:17 For this reason he had to be made like his brothers, fully human, in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make reconciliation for the sins of the people. N.I.V. Hebrews 2:18 Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. N.I.V. 1 Corinthians 10:13 There has no temptation, test or trial, taken, overtaken, you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer, allow, you to be tempted above that you are able, to bear, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, the way out is doing it his way, that you may be able to bear it. Hebrews 4:15 For we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In the Gospels we find that Jesus was led into the desert by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by the devil. Matthew 4:1 Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Matthew 4:2 And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards as hungry. Matthew 4:3 And when the tempter, Satan, came to him, he said, If you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Matthew 4:4 But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Deut. 8:3 Matthew 4:5 Then the devil took him up into the holy city, Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle, the highest part, of the temple. Matthew 4:6 And said unto him, If you be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. PSA 9:11-12 Matthew 4:7 Jesus said unto him, It is written again, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Deut. 6:16 Matthew 4:8 Again, the devil took him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. Matthew 4:9 And said unto him, All these things will I give you, if you will fall down and worship me. Matthew 4:10 Then said Jesus unto him, Begone, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Deut. 6:13 Luke 4:13 And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season, means that he would return, which he no doubt did again and again. The implication is that Jesus was tempted by Satan throughout his ministry. E.S.B. This was a major test for him, and he needed to pass this test before he could begin to walk in his ministry. He was firstly tempted to use his faith to appease his flesh without being spirit-directed. The devil's main purpose here was to get Jesus to use his faith outside the will of God. Secondly, Jesus was tempted to sin through manipulating God to act on his behalf in order to prove his case. The third test was for Jesus to sin blatantly by worshipping Satan. Note that Jesus did not dispute the devil's claim that the kingdoms of the world were his to dispose of. Jesus dealt with these three temptations by using the Word of God to bring truth and light into the situation, and to show up each temptation for what it was, Heb 4:12. Note, temptations are enticements to commit unwise or sinful acts. Some temptations involve the enemy attempting to get us to sin. Other temptations involve us deciding whether to follow the leading of the flesh in any given situation in our Christian walk. Other temptations, if given over to, are not sin, but merely failure to do as we have resolved, e.g. breaking a fast. How to approach tests and trials. Whenever a test or trial of your faith presents itself, you should count it all joy, for through the testing of your faith, patience can be developed. And patience is defined as cheerful endurance which expects fruit in its due season. All this comes about through applying our faith to God's word in the heat of battle. During these times, under the power of God, character is developed. For this reason the scriptures tell us to. James 1:2 My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers, various, temptations, trials. James 1:3 Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, unwavering faith. James 1:4 But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, mature, developed in character and truth. The only way we can count it all joy in our trials is to know that our Father awaits to give us that which we need to triumph in all things. In the process our character will also be developed, so that our life, and even the lives of others, would be enriched. We would therefore, even through or because of these trials, become proven and effectual, sons servants of the living God. So it is not just about patience, it is also about character development and relationship. This means that when a trial comes, we will, if doing the right thing, seek and press into our Father God. We will seek Jesus' companionship and the Spirit's power to maintain or build our strength, and our dependence upon the word of the Lord. In this we may gain the grace to spiritually soar above the circumstances, while going through them physically and mentally. However, it is only His wings that will keep us airborne, for all this can only happen as we lean not on our ideas, or human thinking, but rather on His thinking and His ways, Isaiah 55:8-9. By this means, faith is nurtured and used. In these trials, we must connect experientially with our Lord if we are to grow and succeed in Him. In fact, we could say, while giving no glory to the trials, that they at times will force our hand and cause us to seek, find and embrace not only the Word but the author of it. Indeed, He is our answer, our refuge, our deliverer and so much more in every trial. So let us take His word beyond just knowledge and allow our God to commune with us. It is then we will come to know Him, at a deeper level and feel His presence in our lives. Yes, we must pray for His grace to turn the darkness of the night into the light of day. Yes, we must have proper focus, the right object for our faith being Calvary. Yes, having done all to stand, no matter what happens, we must stand. But we will not be alone in this. Jesus will be by our side and in our life, according to the word in which we are believing and trusting. In every test and trial we experience, it must be more about Him in us than us in Him. He must be more than a refuge, or simply a way of escaping hell or a tribulation. Our life must be centered on Jesus, and our focus must be on Him. Only then will the clouds of despair lift, so we can see the pathway our Father has set before us. This is the pathway that would lead us out of the world's forest full of dead trees and dead philosophies with no real answers to the questions that matter. Only with Jesus in our life and our trials can we find the answer, the power and the love needed to face these trials. Thus a wise man will run to the Father in his time of need to partake of His mercy and grace. Without the Father's grace we will remain trapped in the dead forest, going around in circles, alone and lost. At Calvary the Father stretched out His hand toward us through Jesus. It is only in Him and with Him that we can successfully navigate the road of life and deal with all the circumstances, fair and unfair, that we encounter. Many tests will arise through everyday circumstances in your life, and these are opportunities to take advantage of. You should apply the Word of God to these circumstances, so that as you yield to God and allow the graces and energies of His divine nature to energize your human nature, you can then trust in the author of the Word as Jesus did when He was tempted by the devil. Jesus answered every argument presented to Him by the devil, in faith, with the Word of God, under the direction and empowerment of the Spirit. So we must use God's Word, the sword of the Spirit, as Jesus did in times of testing, and be empowered, as He was, through the divine nature. We need to prepare ourselves through fellowshipping with God, and studying and meditating on His Word. Then we will be able to stand, by faith, and trust God in times of trial. Confess and trust in the Word of God in the face of hardship and crisis, and see the power of God activated in your life to bring about victory, knowing that the Greater One lives within you, 1 John 4:4, 1 John 5:4. What a privilege this is, and what grace is extended to us as believers. Those who would yield to such grace are guaranteed victory of the higher order. The purpose of trials. Background reading, Luke 4:1-15. In our Christian walk we will all endure testings and trials. These will help produce in us the strength needed to continue in the race that is set before us. Also, through testings and trials, godly character is built into the believer by the grace of God, as he leans not on his own understanding but on God's. And so the book of James tells us. James 1:2 My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers, various, trials. James 1:3 Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works, produces, patience, unwavering faith. James 1:4 But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The book of Romans also says. Romans 5:3 But we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience. Romans 5:4 And patience, experience, character, and experience, hope. Romans 5:5 And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. N.I.V. Such testings will come upon all Christians, ministries and churches, for only trials can develop in us the spiritual graces needed to overcome the enemy in our own and others' lives. 1 John 5:4 For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, which has been tested and tried. Only the strong in faith can help the weak in faith. And it is only by being thoroughly equipped in knowledge and faith, and having our character developed through trial and obedience that we will be able to storm the gates of hell, concerning the living, to plunder it. It should also be noted that during our Christian walk and in following God's will for our lives, we may encounter situations which require sacrifice and even involve suffering and loss. The greatest example of this is of course Jesus. We also see an account in the book of Hebrews of some of the Old Testament prophets and leaders experiencing great affliction and suffering as a result of their faithfulness to God, Hebrews 11:32-39. The Apostle Paul certainly suffered during his ministry while carrying out the call God had on his life. The Lord said to Ananias just after Paul's conversion. Acts 9:15 But the Lord said unto him, Go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings, and the children of Israel. Acts 9:16 For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. These were indeed prophetic words. Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthian church, speaks of the great suffering he had endured, and the persecution he had, up to this point in time, experienced. He tells of receiving 39 lashes 5 times from the Jews, of being stoned and left for dead, Acts 14:19, of being beaten with rods, a Roman punishment, Acts 16:22, of being shipwrecked three times, of being in danger in many different situations, and of being thirsty, hungry and cold, 2 Corinthians 11:23-27. Paul declared in view of all this. 2 Corinthians 12:10 Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, weaknesses, in reproaches, insults, in necessities, hardships, in persecutions, in distresses, difficulties, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, in myself, then am I strong, in him. So it is obvious that Paul viewed everything he endured as a gain, for all this had forced him to rely not on himself but on God's grace, and had helped make him the great man of faith he had become. In addition, all the great men of God appear to have had wilderness experiences which matured and mellowed them, and by which reliance on self and self-effort came to die a death of attrition. So we see Moses spending 40 years in obscurity in the deserts of Midian, Joseph being sold into slavery by his brothers, then being falsely accused and imprisoned for many years, Abraham waiting 25 years for the fulfillment of God's promise to him, and the list goes on and on. Wilderness experiences expose the weakness of the flesh to the person concerned, that is their own inability to achieve anything of spiritual value, bringing the person, whether old covenant or new, to a position of reliance on God. So too the Lord may allow us to experience seemingly negative circumstances and situations which will provide us with the opportunity to grow in faith and character if we approach them correctly. The test will be what we do with the situation in which we have either placed ourselves, or which has come upon us through other people's actions or God's intent. The Lord's greatest concern, however, is what we do with what we are faced with, for he knows that growth can come from any seemingly negative circumstance. So even though negative situations are not usually of the Lord's making, he will use them to help us sharpen our sword. For instance, we see in Scripture that Jesus stated, "And a man's foes shall be they of his own household," Matthew 10:36. This can be the case when a believer stands up for their faith and, as a result of doing so, is persecuted by members of their own family. Now the enemy, not God, will obviously be behind this kind of behavior. The believer may experience rejection, ridicule, or even be disinherited in the extreme instance. Nevertheless, if they respond to this situation with faith and continue to look to the Lord for strength, trusting in him and receiving empowerment through the graces of his imparted divine nature, they will have opportunity to grow in faith and deepen in character. Christians who are called to some kind of ministry will usually need to undergo testings of their faith in order to prove themselves trustworthy and ready to stand in their particular calling. The actual experience of a trial may involve loss or suffering, though once again such loss or suffering will not be of the Lord's making. Even, for example, in the case of healing, the Lord may allow someone to be healed gradually over a period of time so that their spiritual muscles are given a chance to develop, 3 John 1:2, nevertheless we believe it is God's ultimate will for everyone to be healed and to live in good health, for the scriptures strongly attest to this fact, Isaiah 53:4-5. So if we encounter situations which involve perceived suffering and sacrifice, let us remember that the Lord may be dealing with us through these circumstances, and that as we trust him, follow his leading and stand strong in him, we may grow in special ways that would not otherwise have been possible. Consider, as a true father, that the Lord is primarily concerned with the development of our character and us maturing in him. As we have said, it is often our response to life's difficulties that will determine the level and depth of this growth, for such difficulties give us opportunity to develop in character. Imagine how bitter and twisted Joseph could have become if he had responded negatively to his unjust treatment. We need also to remember Paul's words as he viewed his situation from an eternal perspective, not a temporal one. 2 Corinthians 4:17 For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians 4:18 While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Testing produces unwavering faith. Background reading, James 1:2-16. Tests and trials are a very important part of our Christian walk and are essential for spiritual growth. God allows us to be tested so that our faith may increase, and our character may be developed. All this will occur if we, leaning on God, stand in faith and apply the Word of God to each test. We know that tests and trials will come to each of us. It is how we respond or react while being tested which determines whether we progress or regress in our Christian walk. Some Christians complain when a small test arises, saying, "Why me, Lord?" However, God wants them to apply their faith to that test by trusting in Him and in His Word, for in this way their faith will expand. Or if they did not possess the faith needed, the test will drive them to seek it. Sometimes lack and the realization of that lack can be a wake-up call that causes us to seek. Therefore, tests and trials can always be viewed in a positive sense as an opportunity for growth, or even an opportunity for God to reveal and supply His power to the humble, James 4:6. Most of the time, God does not have anything to do with the many circumstances which arise in our lives. In fact, most of the time it is man who confronts us with his own manufactured circumstances, and this includes, of course, those of our own making. It is God, however, who tests us in our trials. In other words, don't take it for granted that it was God who created the circumstances you are in. God does not usually create or manufacture the circumstances which produce a trial, but He does wait to see how we will respond. He waits to see whether we approach and respond to that test in a negative, fleshy way or a godly way. If we pass the test, we grow in God, showing ourselves to be trustworthy. As a consequence, we may be more able to be used of Him. In our trials, God may also send us into a situation to bat for Him. In this case, God will give us what is needed to pass the test or meet with His approval, if we have faith in the One who has redeemed us, and we are obedient to the Spirit's leading. Scripture tells us the attitude we should adopt when we encounter trials and gives us the reason why we should view trials in this particular light. James 1:2 My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers, various, temptations, trials. James 1:3 Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works, produces patience, makes us steadfast in the Lord. Patience in this context means cheerful endurance, which is standing in faith without wavering, Ephesians 6:13. We should rejoice in the midst of trials or tests because these can help bring us to a position where we can be steadfast and unwavering, not entertaining doubt. Then when a situation presents itself, we can have total trust in the Word of God, and deal with that situation effectively by His power. In other words, each situation in which we are tested provides us with an opportunity to grow in character and even in faith. A test or trial can last 1 hour, 1 day, 1 week, 1 year or even longer. Also, no matter how much we grow spiritually, the testing of our faith will continue while we remain on earth. This gives us the opportunity to move from one level or depth of faith to the next, and so never to cease growing in God. Remember that the Bible exhorts us to grow in faith, for the just shall live by faith, Romans 1:17. God wants each of us to grow to maturity and become strong in faith. This is important if we are to be able to step into the positions into which He has called us, and to function effectively in them. As we pass the various tests of our faith, we will be ready to step forward to the next level and operate in the power of God, as needed, to a greater extent. However, God cannot take us to the next level until we have passed each test which pertains to the level on which we are currently situated. As we have said, quite often we need to be tested and proven so that we can progress in our Christian faith. There will be many areas which need to be highlighted in our thinking, and nothing better will do this than a God-given, or a God-allowed test, trial, through a set of circumstances that would confront us. This will reveal our flaws and weaknesses. When such a test arises, if we are humble, we will run to God and His Word for the answer and the power to overcome and grow, in fact to then be a vessel of honor fit for His use. When this is the case, we will not be just a son or daughter, but as he wills it, his servant, so that his will may be done in our life, and through us, his will may be done on the earth. If we do not pass through the various God-allowed tests, ones which require not just a natural response but a spiritual response, undoubtedly we will have to return to that bridge and face our doubts, fears and even sin on another occasion. This will result in some Christians, however unknowingly at times, facing the same test, clothed in different circumstances, time and time again. The Lord is patient and just. He will not force but gives endless opportunity for people to progress in their faith walk. One thing is certain. If we fail to pass the test of our faith in an area, this test will return. Only after we have passed the particular test can we proceed, growing in Christ, with the mind of Christ. For the saint to mature and be used of God, he must have the mind of Christ. It is the Holy Spirit who will bring this about in the heart of the yielded saint. The result of these often hard-fought battles won against the flesh, demons and circumstances is God-given, and developed faith, faith to move mountains. But the way of obedience and yieldedness is the narrow road, which few find because the desire to self-rule is so compelling to the flesh and so deeply rooted. James 1:12 tells us that the man who endures and remains firm under testing is blessed. James 1:12 blessed is the man who endures, perseveres under temptation, has his faith tested through trials, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them who love him. The Apostle Peter also said, 1 Peter 1:6, wherein you greatly rejoice, in the hope of the rapture, though now for a season, during our time on this earth in our present condition, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, many trials. 1 Peter 1:7 that the trial, testing, of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, the fire of persecution or temptation or suffering will reveal where our faith is placed, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. James the Apostle goes on to say that when a temptation arises that would entice us to sin, it is not from God, for God does not use evil to tempt us. James 1:13 Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. For example, a person may be subjected to pressure from family or friends to go against that which they know to be right in the Lord. While these pressures do not come from God, the situation does become a trial which tests the person's faith, i.e., whether or not they will put God first. The Lord will use many types of situations to test his people for the purpose of increasing their faith and developing their character, but he will never initiate any test which involves or promotes evil. Satan, however, will try to tempt people so that they are led into sin, which then causes their faith to be undermined. Also, the greater the sin, the more destruction it will cause. He always tempts us to do evil, but God watches and even tests us to see whether we will obey him and so do that which is right in his sight. Note, to be tempted is not sin. It is only when we succumb or yield to Satan's temptations that we give birth to sin, James 1:14-15. An example of God testing his people can be seen in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 8:1 All the commandments which I command you this day shall you observe to do, that you may live, and multiply, and go in and possess the land, the promised land, which the Lord swore unto your fathers, to give to his people Israel. Deuteronomy 8:2 And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you, and to prove, test, you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments, or not, e.g., Deuteronomy 8:3. The purpose of these testings in the wilderness was to see whether the Israelites would obey God's instructions when confronted with a variety of different situations. The same is still true for us today. God wants to bring each of us to a position where we can overcome. Most of the time he permits us to be tested so that we will no longer rely on our own limited abilities but rather, so that we will depend totally on him. The cross has a doorway, and a staircase leading to the throne room. The cross is the doorway to God's grace, testing strips us of self-reliance and brings us to the foot of the cross for help in time of need. Testing therefore helps determine how much we will be able to walk in the power of God in this present life, for we will not walk in His power if we haven't learned to rely on Him in all circumstances. Testing can quickly show up sin and other flaws in our thinking and our character. Indeed, testing becomes like a mirror or a microscope, pointing out the darkness like a cancer in our life. With this focus we become informed. Then as we run to God and His Word for the answers we need, knowing that our willpower is insufficient, we begin to rely on God once again. Only God's grace, God's Word and God's power can help us, removing impurities in the yielded saint, and replacing the cancer, the darkness, with the delivering and empowering Word of God. The saint's day-to-day life then becomes an opportunity for growth. Indeed, if we bother to goal to live a godly life, we will suffer persecution and then need God's help, His light and power, daily. Amen. Enduring and triumphing in tests will help perfect the Christian character, in other words, will help us become more Christ-like as the divine nature energizes our human nature. The book of Job tells us, for instance, that when we have been tried, we will come forth as gold. Job 23:10 But he knows the way that I take, when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold, tested, tried and proven. Other scriptures speak of this same spiritual refinement. Psalm 66:10 For you, O God, have proved us. You have tried us, as silver is tried, faith must be tested, and great faith must be tested greatly, it is absolutely necessary for our consecration.
E.S.B.
1 Peter 1:7 That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto, works done in faith will result in, praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 4:12 Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, this speaks of persecution, promised to those who will live a godly life, 2 Timothy 3:12. 1 Peter 4:13 But rejoice, in spite of the trial, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, means suffering for righteousness' sake, that, when His glory shall be revealed, at the second coming, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. One important point to remember is that God is faithful and true, and will not allow us to be tested beyond that which we are able to bear. In 1 Corinthians we read, 1 Corinthians 10:13 There has no temptation, test or trial, taken you but such as is common to man, whatever your trial, it is not unique but it is being experienced by others, but God is faithful, who will not suffer, allow, you to be tempted above that you are able, to bear, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, the way out is doing it His way, that you may be able to bear it. This principle is repeated in 2 Peter. 2 Peter 2:9 The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and trials. Note, however, that God's escape route from trials always involves acting righteously and doing things His way. This will almost never involve taking the easy way out, for this route will not produce godly fruits, no matter how appealing to the flesh it may be. So let us always seek the Lord's way of handling each trial, and not permit ourselves to compromise His truths when we come up against difficult situations. What may seem the easy way out will never bring us Christian growth by God's grace. What appears to be the easy, short-term solution will never produce victory in the long term. So as we face tests and trials, let us be resolute and faithful. Let us understand their purpose, and respond to them in a godly way, holding fast to our profession of faith, Hebrews 10:35-36. In this way we will be able to move on to become vessels of honor, accounted worthy to be used by our Lord, 2 Timothy 2:21. May you have the victory in Christ. Amen. For further information or teaching material to help you grow in the Christian faith, please visit Crossroads International. Full Gospel Ministries. Crossroads Ministries. Dot. Org. Dot. A. U.